You can also look at the whiteboard, go through what we discussed last Thursday. Last Thursday's discussion was good. The one in red, we discussed I see. So what is the I? Who see? Who is the I? Very important. Then I explain, define aggregate of form and mind. So when you want to understand who are you, what are you? You have to be realistic about developing this understanding. So you ask the question, who am I? What am I? Ah, there, here. As a human being, we have a physical body, we have a mind. That's why I draw that thing. My art lousy, I can only draw a skeleton of a human being. But then, we can never deny that we have a physical body, which is your form. Then you have a mind, which we call consciousness, and is content trapped inside this body. Then you combine the two, the Buddha said, you are the form and the mind. Then the mind got four aggregates, as written up there. The mind can feel, can perceive, can develop thinking, activity of mind, mental states, all your planning, scheming, worrying, cunningness, anxiety. These are what your mind can do. Then lastly, it can become conscious. So consciousness is also an aggregate of mind. So you combine these four aggregates of mind, feeling, perception, activity of mind, or sankhara, and consciousness, plus the form, we have the five aggregates of form and mind. And this is what the human being is all about. But the Buddha said you must meditate clearly and see. We are direct seeing to realize the universal characteristic of this five aggregates of form and mind, and that they are impermanent, leading to suffering. Then there is no permanent unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I within. That's why it's anatta, non-self. So this five aggregates of form and mind, the human being is not you. Then what is it? That's why I wrote up there for the up. It's karmically conditional for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience life, and to develop whatever you want to develop. So that one is the fake one. That one is the condition arising one, the segmented life that you take every time you come to this world. And this understanding is very, very important, prime. Then you will sever your sakayatiti, or what they call self-delusion. Otherwise, if you deludedly believe that this human being of five aggregates of form and mind is what you are, then you will be deceived, the Buddha said. When you are deceived, then you think everything you feel is very real. Everything you come to perceive within the phenomenal world, like your loved one, your possession, your whatever things that you hold on to dearly, you think they are real. Then all of your mental activity, your thinking, your views, your opinion, you hold on to them so tenaciously. That's why you become very rigid, you argue a lot, and you get angry very easily. And you are so conditioned with that belief system, that views, that opinion. Then that is what you are. Your character, everything follow. Then you get yourself entangled. That's what delusion is all about. Then consciousness, everything you become conscious of, like what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you technically feel and think. The Buddha said this is like a magician. You know, as a magician, create illusion for you to see. So sometimes magician, they also call him an illusionist, create illusion for you to see. So this consciousness is not real, mind-made are they. This five aggregate of form and mind, the Buddha gave analogy so that you can understand that they are not real. He said feeling is like the bubble. You know bubble? Pop, gone. Pop, gone. So your feeling also come in spark moment. That feeling, if you silence your mind, you can feel the tactile, the feeling. Moment to moment, it's the mind that actually perceive it and acknowledge it and feel it. And that one is impermanent, it come and it go. So likewise, perception is the same. Every moment of perception is just that moment. Split second is gone, then next perception. So when all this, you come to understand clearly, then you will not be deceived. Then to the Buddha, he said, perception is like a mirage. In the desert, you see, like you saw water, oasis or what, but it's actually a mirage projection through the sun. So when you see it, you come near, you realize it's a mirage, not real. So everything you come to perceive actually is not real. Created through mind. That's why mind is a forerunner, all things mind is chief. When mind arise. Everything become like real. Then mental activity, sankhara, is like a banana stem. You know it's a banana stem? You can peel layer after layer after layer after layer. When you reach the center, what happens? At the core of existence, empty, nothing. Sankhara is like that. Your thinking. End of the day is just mental activity, thinking, nothing real. Then consciousness is like a magician. Open your eye, creation start already. Like magic, all real already. Then hearing, same. Okay, 8:10, we can start our puja. So that one is just some revision for those who come early. We are last Thursday, we went through this. So we see how our test, if we got condition, we may go through this one more time. Okay, you get people to like, Sian and Mi Fong. Yeah, the two of you today can like. Oh, today the flower is very nice. Oh, I forgot. The table bought already, but haven't delivered yet. No, PG, I took him. No, I took her to see together. I know. The long table, don't worry. It come with a set. Oh, the one. Oh, then never mind. Okay. No. It come with one set. Then I only need the two small floor. It's a very simple long table. We see how it goes. Don't worry. I haven't collected also. Yeah. Off the fan first, yeah. Now, somebody help to open the gate. Oh, yeah, thank you. The rest can stand, get ready for puja. Sadhu, come. We just about to start. We haven't started. Okay. Sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadh sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah? Then we can start the chanting. Turn to page 4. Chanting, we will pay homage to Triple Gem. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, then with the virya, we will chant mindfully. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang na Sāmi. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 4 of the chanting book. We will start off with the Vandana, salutation or homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Pānātipātā vairamane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīnā dānā vairamane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vairamane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vairamane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya majjhāpamādathāna vairamane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sārapaditena Dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambudang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dupena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kasuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kasumena nena Punnena matena cha ho tu mokhang Dupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang Adiva setu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, turn to page 18. We will do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened till they become balas or powers. Then sharing of merits and transfer of merits. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition fitty to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Dang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Anybody who is first time here, haven't attended this class before? Oh, everybody here before, good. So we can start our meditation immediately. Huh? Okay, yeah. We off the light, yeah? Then you can start your meditation. Yeah? For those who already know how to meditate, you proceed straight away. Yeah? For those who still need to train your mind, you just develop the mind-sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking. And then after that, you combine with loving-kindness or metta meditation to bring about inner well-being. The mind-sweeping method will make you peaceful, quiet, giving rise to inner peace. Then metta or loving-kindness will give rise to inner well-being. So when you combine, your mind state becomes beautiful. You will develop inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then after that, you can stabilize your mindfulness. You can use whatever skillful means that you have developed or familiar. If you got nothing, then try anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, what the Buddha has recommended. Then after that, when you stabilize ready, your mind will become mindful, heedful, and silent within. But that training, you need to stabilize it. So allow anapanasati to settle down for a while. Then for those who want to do the bowing, you can. It's up to you. Then if you are already sort of quite well-versed with your training of the mind, means your spiritual faculty are already cultivated, developed through the puja and your daily routine, then the moment you sit, your mind will be very peaceful, very quiet. You will enter the meditative state very fast. then your mind reach paucity, or stillness and silent very fast. Then during that time, you just relax and silent everything. Then meditation is to develop this understanding of the mind, how the silent, when stabilized, becomes the true mind, the meditative mind, and it will develop a lot of understanding after that on its own. Okay? So you can proceed with the meditation. Okay. Today no need instruction, huh? Those who want instruction, go and read the blue book. Okay? So you can start your meditation now. I will ring the bell after about 20 or 25 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. This is the mind state that you need to use to live your daily life. The mind that is trained to have this inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. We call it the mindfulness, the inner awareness. When you have this ability to be mindful, to be aware, you are in the meditative state. The real meditation is after you have trained this mind, you need to use this mind that you have trained to cultivate daily mindfulness, to understand clearly what is going on in life, leading to the understanding of who you are, what you are, and the investigation of all the teaching that the Buddha has taught us. The mind that is trained is very different. It is very heedful, ever mindful, no longer like before, heedless, think a lot, wander here, wander there, worry about this, worry about that. The meditative mind is peaceful, calm, and aware. When it's trained, means it listens to you. You want it to be silent, it will be silent. You want it to be peaceful, it will be peaceful. You want it to arise, to do whatever, it will do that. That is a trained mind. Means you are skillful with the using of this mind, how to use this mind. And this mind will listen to you. Okay, with that we will continue with our invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read the English translation. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa
Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vichacharana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Sattā deva manusāna Buddho bhagavati Svākato bhagavata dhammo Sandhittiko akkhalikoEhi pasiko opanayiko Pachatang viditadbo Inohiti Supatipanno bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato Sakkasangho Yāpatipanno bhagavato sāvakasangho Sāmicipatipanno bhagavato sāvakasangho Yadidang chattari purisayukkani Atta purisapugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo Anjalikaraneyo Anuttarang punyaketang kasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripajam. Buddhang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami.Okay, you can be seated. Okay. Sadhu, yeah. You're welcome, huh? Sadhu. Their daughter is here? It's okay, yeah. Just the two parents, huh? Sadhu, I rejoice, huh? You're most welcome to join us, Do they have that book, the blue book? Oh, don't they? They give them the seminar book and the blue book. The blue book has instruction on teaching you how to meditate. Then there is a seminar book that will allow you to understand the teaching of the Buddha. How this teaching is so unique, so special. And who is the Buddha and all those things.You read through, it will help you to understand the basic essence of the Buddha's teaching. Maybe tonight we spend some time explaining this because it's recorded, it can help many people. Living the beings, like the Buddha knew. The moment you are born into this world, the Buddha said,Because of birth, we need to confront many, many realities that follow. Wherever there is birth, there will be old age, sickness and death, the Buddha said. This is a life process. This is a reality. Human being has to go through. But when you go through life without this understanding of his teaching,you will be afflicted. Suffering will arise. That's why his teaching is very unique. His teaching is so unique that it can summarize to you all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. When you understand his teaching, it's like you understand the secret of life, you know how to live life. And this is a very important understanding. For if you don't understand life,you cannot live life. Then you don't know who you are, what you are, then who is living your life. So all these are the very important questions that human being has to encounter. Then they have a lot of this doubt. When I die, what happened? But they never inquire who died, what died, what is death. So that fear of death, that fear of the unknown, grips the human being. That's why there is so much fear in this world nowadays. Your health problem, your fear of getting sick, getting old, and one day die. Then as you encounter the realities of life and existence, the Buddha said, not only you will experience growing up, getting old, getting sick and finally die, he said, you have to enter society. As you grow up, even as a child, you need to be exposed to the world, confront the world, the reality within. Then you have to come into contact with the people who look after you or raise you up. Then you will be sent to maybe kindergarten if you have parents who are willing to spend on that money. Then later you go to school, you interact with other people, then you are exposed to the world of education. Then as you go to school, you have to clear your exam. Then after that, maybe you go to secondary school, then university or college. For those who does not make it, they have to drop out earlier. Even for those who make it after you graduate, or even before you graduate, I remember in the university years, there are many students who has problem with exam, exam fever, exam fear, exam phobia. Then they confront a lot of problem. Then there are some, maybe very small numbers, who have problem. Then they enter difficult mind states, some even suicidal. Then when they start to contact life too early, a lot of things they cannot understand. They cannot come to terms with those reality. Then even as they come out into society after they graduate, when they start working, they have related problem too. Problem about career, problem about relationship, problem about getting financial freedom, earning a living, having to work for people. So all this will lead to a lot of life reality to be experienced. So the Buddha summarized this reality, he said, in short, he said, there are eight realities that you have to confront. Apart from going through birth, old age, sickness and death, if you don't have the understanding, when you confront them with delusion, you will suffer, you will become afflicted. Then the fifth one is very important, the Buddha said. You will encounter a situation like the loved one that you hold on to, cling on to, believe they are your loved ones. And your property, your wealth, your possession, you think they belong to you. So you hold on to them dearly. But the reality is, the Buddha said, separation is a reality. Separation from loved ones and the things you hold on to dearly, like your wealth, your possession, your career, even your reputation, or whatever that you believe you own. And separation can come in many ways, the Buddha said. The most obvious way is through death, the death process. Then in relationship problem, there is divorce, or relationship break up even if you are not married. They get jilted and many other things. Then sometimes economic crisis or world crisis, right? Tsunami, nature's disaster, earthquake, flood, and many other related accidents, even like war, car accident, all this snatch thief and all these things, they can lead to separation. Then there is this, what they call suffering that arises when you are with people whom you don't like, the Buddha said. People that you cannot get along with easily. Most people confront them. Like when you go and work within the society, within your career field, you have bosses that are not easy to deal with. There are some who put fear in you, harass you to deliver. So management by fear and harassment can become very, very traumatic for most people, especially young people. They cannot cope up with the stress. They cannot cope up with the deadline and the demand to deliver. Then, apart from that, you also have to face relationship, like at home, the newly married, they have to face their in-law. Or those less fortunate, they have to face their step-parents, step-mother, step-father. Then sometimes in school, the children are subject to all the bullies, the child abuse and all those things. Career field, sexual harassment, many of this. Then, as you move on in life, the Buddha said, there are many things that you desire to have, but there is no condition for you to have. Your expectations in life are not met. When things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, you expect to be promoted, but it never comes. You expect your spouse to love you, to remember your birthday, but it's not forthcoming. Sometimes you expect your loved ones to understand you, your brothers, your sister, to understand you and to love you, but then you don't see it forthcoming. All this will arise when you have problem, when you are not happy. So the Buddha said, these seven realities, birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved one and your possession, when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectation in life is not met, you tend to be afflicted, affected, and you become miserable. Some become very, very sad, very depressed, and very unhappy. And there's a lot of fear, especially when it involves sickness and disease, health problem, financial problem, relationship problem. These are more easy to understand terminology, modern terminology. So nowadays there's a lot of traumatic diseases like cancer, heart attack, kidney failure, even HIV and many, many other strange diseases. Then you got people getting into depression, having mental problem, stress, leading to all the heart attack and all those things. So these are the realities, the Buddha said. If you don't have the understanding when you confront them, you will become miserable. This is why the first noble truth that he explained is the noble truth of suffering. This world is full of suffering, prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere. If you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, you don't understand this teaching which explained to you clearly the secret of life, the nature's law that governs life and existence. So this reality can trigger off a lot of human suffering. That's why we come here to learn the teaching, to train our mind, to meditate, so that we understand ourselves clearly, so that we understand life, we understand all this, so that we are not afflicted when we confront them. We will have wisdom and understanding to accept them. to develop the clear understanding, to develop the peace within, the happiness and the joy. Then life becomes beautiful. Then we can live life to the fullest. We don't have to worry about life. We don't have to become sad anymore. We don't have to have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. All this will be erased. All this will cease to be when we develop this understanding of the teaching. That's why this particular teaching is very important. That's why we come here to meditate, to train our mind to develop this understanding. And you have to put in the appropriate right effort followed by the diligence to understand this teaching. It doesn't come by itself. It is not offered to you on a silver plate. No. Like the Buddha said, he can only share this teaching with you. He can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. You have to cultivate yourself. We are your life. You have to decide how you want to live. Then this is the first noble truth that he proclaimed. The reality of life and existence and the prevalence of suffering. And suffering is everywhere. Sorrow, lamentation, misery, fear is everywhere. You don't understand this teaching. When you confront this reality without understanding. Then the Buddha moved on to explain the second noble truth. He said there is a second noble truth that explains clearly to you why you suffer. The cause behind all suffering. And the cause is very simple, the Buddha said. When you deludedly believe that this human being or this human form of mind is you, like what I explained the last week, this human being, the physical body and the consciousness that is trapped inside, we call this the human being. Okay? If you believe this is you, then there is self-delusion. That's why I draw this. I say, we go through life, we always say, I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I feel, I tactilely experience all this. Then I think. So this I, this entity in the inverted comma, you have to understand who is this I. When I say I see, it means who see, what see. That's why you have to meditate to develop all this understanding. I will come back to this if I have time later. When you understand, then you are not deluded by all this. But when you don't understand, the Buddha says there is self-delusion. When you believe this is you, that's why you have problem. You worry about yourself getting sick, getting old, and one day you may die. And the fear of death is very intense. Then you think you exist, you are real. That's why you have emotion. You will suffer when your loved one is sick, about to die, or have relationship problem. You worry about your children. You worry about your own health, your own financial position, your spouse and all those things, your parents, your in-law, your brothers, your sister, and all those things that you believe you own and you hold on to. So the Buddha says all this come about because you have attachment, you cling, you grasp, you believe this is you. When you believe this is you, you will worry about you getting old, getting sick and one day die because you cannot understand this one. Then the fear of death is very, very, very strong, very severe and very real. Apart from that, because of this self-delusion, the Buddha said, you have attachment, you have craving. You attach to your loved ones. That's why you worry about them, just like you worry about your own physical body. And because of that, the Buddha said, it is this self-delusion that conditions you to have this craving, this desire to own them, to protect them, so that they will not get into trouble. But the world is the world. Human being has to go through all this reality. As long as you are born and you live long enough, you will confront them. So if you confront them without understanding, you will suffer because you have craving. Craving born of self-delusion. You have attachment to them, you cling to them, you grasp to them. So all this become like very real to you. That's why your mind state are affected whenever you confront this reality. So this first two noble truths is very powerful, very important. The Buddha said, when you know what suffering is, and you know the cause behind, at least that is the beginning of life. You will know how to manage your life better. Correct or not? Yeah? You agree or not? If you know what suffering is, and you know the cause, are you still so gullible to allow it to torment you and make you miserable? If I know this is suffering, I will not allow it to happen. Because my life, I got a choice there. I can choose it there. I hold the key to my own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy or miserable is entirely my choice. So if I know this is suffering, I will choose not to be in this condition. That is how you come out of it. If you want to come out of it, then you must know the cause behind. And when I know that it is because of my self-delusion that I attach, cling, and hold, then it affects me. My whole of the thinking process or psychological process, my views and my opinion, my religious belief that I hold on to last time, if it's not correct, that's why I will suffer. But when I understand life clearly and I got the right understanding, I don't have to suffer. That's why the Buddha go on to the third noble truth. The third noble truth is the most promising. The Buddha said, there is a noble truth that explains to you clearly about the possibility of the enlightenment in the here and the now. He said, suffering need not be, human being or living being need not suffer. If you understand this teaching and can awaken to it and become enlightened, the enlightened being is free from all suffering because it's no longer deluded. They have awakened to the truth and the reality of life and existence. They understand clearly what life is, what are the laws that govern life and existence, and they know how to perform their duty and live it in accordance with that understanding. That's why their mind can be liberated. They can become enlightened. And they will never have to suffer again. And life become beautiful after that. After the third noble truth, the Buddha didn't stop. He didn't say it can be done, but didn't teach you how to do it. So he go on to the fourth noble truth, which is his meditation, which is what we are trying to develop when we are here. He said under the fourth noble truth, is it? There is a noble eightfold path. If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Then you become enlightened. So this noble eightfold path is very important, and this is what meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is all about. When you can cultivate this noble eightfold path until you have these noble qualities, as described by the Buddha in this noble eightfold path, you will become the noble one or the enlightened one. So this teaching is so beautiful, so unique. That's why in the year 1971, that time I was in Form 5, I think, Form 5. I had this very unique mind when I was young. I like to look at the sky, at the star. Then I ask myself, who am I? What am I? What am I doing in this universe? Then what is life? What is death? Who died? What died? So that time I start to probe. It is because of this inquiry that it led me to encounter this teaching. That the moment I understand this teaching, the moment I read about it, I realized I don't have to search anymore. This is it. That's why I didn't turn back. I go all out to cultivate this teaching because I knew it's important. it not only affect my this life, it affect my whole of the future existence. Even if I have to come or choose to come in future, I have to have this understanding. Otherwise, I come here to suffer. What for? I myself don't come. But for those who are deluded, you got no choice. You don't want to come. Law of karma will make you come. That's why you have to come. You cannot choose to come. Have to come is you have not developed the understanding and the wisdom. You got no choice. Law of karma condition you to come. And most living being or human being, they don't have this understanding. That's why they suffer. So this teaching is very unique, very important. That's why this meditation is very different. It doesn't teach you how to become special, have psychic ability or no. It just teaches you to develop mindfulness, inner peace, inner well-being, inner awareness, to understand yourself. When you understand yourself, you understand others. Then when you understand yourself and others, you understand the world, the existence, the nature's law that governs life existence. Then you know the secret of life. Then you know how to live. So these are very important teaching that is given to us out of compassion from the Buddha. Yeah? And it is free. Yeah? That's why you don't treasure it or cherish it. It's up to you because it's your life. For those who understand, they really cherish it and has a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha for giving to the world such beautiful teaching, because there is a possibility of transformation, possibility of completely change in the way you understand life. Then when you have this understanding, you don't have to suffer anymore, you don't have to worry about life anymore. You just live, and life becomes so beautiful, so meaningful. You can get to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. That's why this teaching is very, very unique. So what I summarize to you, this small part, is also inside the seminar book. You don't have to remember anything. You read through the seminar book, you understand. Then there are many, many other benefits of meditation. Then there is also the section on teaching you how to understand life and live life. There is the seminar paper that I delivered. I was invited to this international seminar in Bangkok, the year 2013, the World Buddhist Conference. And the title was about how to apply the Buddha's teaching to overcome all of your life problems. And that seminar was good because it can help many, many people. Then later on, condition arise. People suggested that why not we get it printed as booklet form so that we can distribute and let other people understand. That's how the book come about. And they are free, donated by Dharma Friends Kayanamita to benefit living beings. Then if you are interested in this teaching, you should devote time to understand this teaching. Then attend the classes, the sharing. They are all free. You don't have to pay anything. Then if you want to learn how to meditate, you read the blue book. And the best thing is to listen to this recording. We got every week. There are three classes, unless they are cancelled. Tuesday class, Thursday class, and the Sunday class. Then sometimes there are talk in between, Dhamma talk. They are all mostly recorded. And if you listen to it again, you will develop clear understanding. Because most people cannot grasp much if they come here and listen. Unless you have cultivated before, your past is very strong, and you have this understanding, then you can follow, then you can appreciate, and then you have a lot of joy. Otherwise, you need to listen to this a few times in order to develop the clear understanding. All this will not have much meaning to you until later when you confront life, when you have suffering, when you have problem. Then you look for spiritual teaching. You go to attend religious ceremony. Human beings are like that. When no problem, they enjoy life. They do what they like. They can become crazy. Then they say, this is what life is all about. They run after all the sense experience. That's why nowadays our civilization is so beautiful. The level of sensuality is so high. You can really develop the what they call so-called sense pleasure. You have the internet, you have the TV, you have the all the special video. Then you can have good food, you can travel, you can actually live and experience life in a very luxurious way or very pampering way. You can pamper yourself with so much possibility you can afford. You can fly by business class. You can travel in style, drive nice car, and experience all this, what they call good life. But then, if you don't have the Dhamma, you still suffer, finally. Because every sense experience, or every pleasurable sense experience, you attach, cling, and grasp onto it, you want more. It's a prelude to suffering. That's why you don't have this understanding, you will grasp, you will hold, you will cling. Then you will look for better experience. But when you are contented, when you have this Dhamma, you understand clearly, you have so much joy and you won't attach. You have a lot of contentment, you have a lot of gratitude. And you thank your good karma for giving you such beautiful condition to come to this world with such beautiful form and mind to experience this civilization, this era of great beauty and meaning. You can make full use of your karmically created, they call it the gift from some who believe in God, the gift of God, your senses that enable you to see things, hear things, smell things, taste things, feel things, and arise the thought process. So the beauty of sight and sound, you can experience them in this era of ours. The society, and there are so much marvel that you can come across. I remember during the early days when I was born, the 50s, the 60s, even the 70s, the world is still very backward, very, very far behind compared to the last 30 years of civilization. After the 80s, 90s, 2000, and now 2010 beyond, we are coming to 2020. The last 30, 40 years, especially the last 20 years or 30 years, we have evolved. Our civilization has progressed. We are so advanced. Last time, we got handphone that is so powerful. You can video, WhatsApp, take whatever. Then you can chat, you can communicate. Then you can receive so much information and news. Then there is so much meaning and joy. Then life becomes like so different. Now you can just interact, set up a WhatsApp site, then you just communicate like that. Last time you got to write letter, I remember. I write one letter to my friend in Australia, 1 month to reach and come back. Sometimes 1.5 months, 3-4 weeks to reach. Then they reply, 3-4 weeks, 2 months, only write one letter. Now WhatsApp, within second they receive and they reply to you. Now you can video conference and see your own children overseas. Now you can travel by jet plane, by aeroplane, and everything has become so different. Now traveling time cut short. You have high speed rail, you have highway, everything. That's why when you have the Dhamma, you can fit into all this. You don't have any problem. But when you don't have the Dhamma, you cannot cope. Then a lot of people have craving. They want to have the good life. They envy what people have, but they don't have money. That's why they work so hard for money. Then what happens? At the expense of their health. Then they spend money to gain back their health. That's why they say, doing foolish things. But when you understand, you don't have to do that. You must have understanding. You must understand this teaching. Then you will know how wealth comes to you. How you develop the skillful understanding to live this life, and with the merits, the blessing and the wholesomeness based on your understanding, all this good karma will bring forth the good condition for you to experience all this. And you will have the means, you will have the capacity to do all this, and you are like very blessed. Then you have a lot of joy, a lot of contentment, because you don't compare with the grieving mind. You compare with what you have seen during the transition period, the old and the new. That's why I had a lot of joy. Then I realized we can be as human beings, so lucky, so fortunate to have the condition to see both the old and the new, and to go through this beautiful transition phase, and to reach this point of civilization when you are almost at your prime, and you got many more years to go, assuming, of course, you live until 80 years old. So life can be meaningful and beautiful, but the sad thing you see all over the world and society is, why are people not happy? Why are people still struggling with life? Complaining about life, becoming so miserable over time. They have to confront so many of these realities that make them miserable, traumatic. Especially when you cannot get what you want, when you see your loved one having problems, when you see yourself having problems, suffering. Health problem, relationship problem, career problem. And a lot of other life-related problem and issue. So instead of living life and develop all the understanding to be part of all this civilization's advancement and wholesomeness, they are so badly affected that their mind state, they cannot see all this. They just cling and hold on to all those suffering, misery. That's why when it become like a habitual tendency, they end up having depression, because this cocoon of thought that has been haunting them, they develop more and more negativity, more and more unhappiness through their wrong thought, because they couldn't understand, they blame the world, they blame everything. Then they become so miserable, caught in that cocoon, and they keep on repeating like tape recorder inside there. Initially, they shut themselves off, they don't want to talk to you. Then later on, even if you have condition to talk to them, they keep on just telling you what they want to tell you. Their frustration, their anger, their unhappiness, and all those things. The psychiatrist will know. Those who study psychology. Then nowadays, not only older people have depression, young people also have depression. I have seen a lot of these kids at the what they call psychiatric ward in the government hospital. Yes, at my age, I also have to visit hospital. But mine is a routine checkout. Every 8 months, I have to go there for my routine checkup. Then I have to, like, every 4 months, because my wife is a government servant, go and collect my medication. It's free. Then I used to have classmates who are doctors, and we used to communicate and talk. That's why I come to understand many of these things. Then I used to counsel many people who has problem. That's why they tell me their problem. Then I learn. But what I did was very simple. I just explained to them what this teaching is all about, then what life is all about. Then the rest depend on them, because I always tell them, your life, you decide how you want to live. If you choose to be happy, you will be happy. You will never be unhappy. But the question is, why are they mostly unhappy? So, not to say they don't know how to choose, because they don't have this teaching, this understanding. So this teaching is very important. Okay? So tonight, this is the summary I want to give to you, so that you can have a clear understanding of the importance of this Buddha Dharma, the teaching that the Buddha has taught us. Then whether you are new or you are old, it's a reminder to you that life can be pretty difficult when you don't have this understanding. But when you have this understanding, life becomes meaningful, wonderful, beautiful. Then you realize life takes a turn and you can really enjoy that life. You are happy to be born into this world. You are grateful. And you have so much joy, so much happiness, so much gratitude. You thank your good karma for giving you such condition to have this understanding, to come to this world, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. You can experience all the pristine beauty of nature. Every moment of sense experience is so meaningful. When you are silent, peaceful, you really are very different. You got no thought, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. And your mind is very quiet, very peaceful most of the time. Just aware, silent, peaceful. And you can have so much joy even observing people, observing the child, the kid, how they toy and fall, and how they learn. Okay. Still early, 9:40. Now you can report your meditation. So second session is meant to be meditation reporting. And you can, after that, ask questions related to the meditation or the teaching, or whatever you want to know about life, how you can apply this teaching so that it can help you understand life and live life. Okay, we open it up while I have a drink. Anybody wants to report meditation, put up your hand. Only Ching Yap smiled. So we pass the mic to Ching Yap. Why he shake his head? The normal nene style Indian. The hand also like that. You haven't reported your meditation. I want to hear your meditation. It's from my hometown. My same year, but in another school. Report the meditation. Orang Kedah. Don't worry. Just explain what you did in the last half an hour when we were meditating. Very good. Thank you. Sadhu.
Understand.
Yeah.
Sometimes my mind is still wandering around.
Good. At least you know. You are aware that mind is still wandering. Then continue.
Then just and then you can feel the body ache.
Some more? What do you do? You never follow any instruction. When you have all these problems, what are you supposed to do in the name of meditation?
Then my mind is, my thoughts are still...
No, correct. Your thought, all this, when you have all these problems. Because this is a very good example. What are you supposed to do after hearing all this Dhamma? You are here to train your mind, to develop the ability to meditate. Are you training your mind? You only know that you still think a lot, there is still wandering, here ache, there ache. I already told you in the first place, you don't come here to torture yourself in the sauna unnecessarily. You come here to relax, to train your mind, and to recuperate and become beautiful. Remember? So, you are supposed to train your mind. How do you train your mind? If it's wandering, that is because of what? You're off the mind because there's distortion. When you have all these things, means what? Your mind has not been trained, Anasana. You need to train this mind so that it can be peaceful. It can have this ability to be aware, silent. You will have the inner peace, inner well-being. So the first thing is to train this mind. If you don't train, then like the Buddha said, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. And the untrained mind think a lot, worry a lot. And because you don't know how to relax and meditate, that's why here ache, there ache, everywhere ache. That's not. You ask those who know how to meditate, they tell you, you're very different, very beautiful. You ask Brother Song, he enjoy meditation until now. You half an hour or so here, ache, there, ache. So, no problem with that, understand not? So what you need is, you remain focused, means, I am here to train my mind. Okay? Jingyap, remember. So what do? You want to train your mind. You start off with mind sweeping method. Did you do or not? Did you do,
Tonight, no.
My mind
wandering with something.
You got something worrying you. You are thinking about it because it's haunting you. It's quite normal. A lot of human beings got this problem. You ask them to meditate. They say how to meditate because unfinished problem in business. They are worried. They are problem not resolved. Maybe work problem. I hope it's not Lei Hong's problem. Nothing to do with Lei Hong. Safe. Not wife's problem. So it's just business or career. You tell yourself, I am here to meditate, to train my mind. So please tell the thought nicely. Have mercy on me. Don't disturb me. I will dwell with it after the meditation. I will think about it and resolve it after the meditation. For the time being, have mercy on me. Allow me to have the space to silence my mind, to train my mind, to develop the inner peace, inner well-being, so that I can recuperate from a stressful day, from a tired day. How you do that, you become different. Then it's better than you going for spa or pay for all the facial or thing. It never matched this type of meditations. Inner peace and inner well-being. You go there, you get the wrong guy who don't know how to spa or massage you. I tell you, you will not only get ache, you sprain your back also. or certain part, they over-twist it. You get into more trouble. At least here, because you're not relaxed, you got here ache, there ache. But the moment the bell ting, 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 oh, you're like out of jail already. Oh, relief. I remember a lot of young meditators waiting for the bell to ring. Because they cannot tahan. Until you hear pain, there pain, everywhere pain. That's why the mind state also got no clarity, you cannot think anymore. But what I try to explain to you is you have to remain focused. Whatever happens, just tell yourself, this is the reality, isn't it? If I am not trained, the mind will behave like that. You will think a lot. You will wonder a lot. Because it's an untrained mind. It's heedless. It has the mental hindrance. These are the spiritual faculty. Those are the mental hindrance. The Buddha said the reason why you are not peaceful, you cannot meditate, is because you have these five mental hindrance of mind. And this one, throughout the day, human beings experience them. Because you didn't train your mind. You don't have the opposite five spiritual faculty that can make you very calm, very peaceful. And this is the one that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching, because they are spiritual faculties. And they are also five. The first one is faith or confidence in yourself, the Buddha, and his teaching, through understanding who he is. Then when you understand who the Buddha is, how special he is, because he is not only enlightened, he is the fully enlightened one. And he is perfect, he has perfected the training to become very wise and very virtuous. And you can say, when he arrives, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born at that time. So to have him as your teacher, you will have a lot of gratitude, a lot of respect. Then you will have a lot of joy. That's why your faith in him becomes unshakable. Then when you come to realize his teaching is so beautiful, it can let you understand life, liberate your mind, and free the mind from all suffering, all fear, all misery, all unhappiness, sorrow, and lamentation. Then you can use that mind with that quality to understand life, to live life, and to develop all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then you can become a blessing to all. You will have such beautiful mind state. Then from there, that confidence will drive you to cultivate this teaching. That's why the second spiritual faculty is virya, that spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this way, to develop the meditation. So when you have faith and spiritual zeal, it will lead to mindfulness. Mindfulness is the special quality of mind. When you are mindful, means you are aware, you got no thought, little or no thought. And when you are always aware, most of the time, you become different. Your mind is so different. There is inner peace, there is inner awareness, little or no thought, silent, beautiful, quiet, peaceful, aware. As compared to the hindrance has this restless mind that thinks a lot because it has worry, it has problem, it has anxiety. That's why the mind is not peaceful, very restless. Throughout the day when you have problem, when you worry, nowadays, human beings a lot of things to worry. They not only worry about their own personal problem, their health, their what they call financial problem, their relationship problem. They even worry about their children's problem, then later their grandchildren's problem. Then they worry about their property, their wealth, their business, and a lot of those life-related issues. So when you have so much worry and fear, fear of death and all those things, the fear, worry, anxiety will make you restless. Then when you believe that these are your problem, you will dwell in it. You will become like haunted by it. So the thought keep on arising. That's how people go into depression. Because they worry, they become restless, and the mind get itself entangled more and more until it become a cocoon of thought. Then they set themselves into depression without them knowing it. So restlessness of mind is very dangerous. And because they also don't understand this teaching, they have a lot of doubt. They don't understand the nature's law that governs life and existing and existence. That's why they get into trouble. So when sati develop, when your mind is peaceful and aware, you can see things clearly. You can have clarity of mind. Then you can make better decisions. You can understand things better. That's why you will stabilize and become samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. So when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, your mind does not waver anymore. Not like the normal mind. Normal mind, small thing worry already. Or sometimes like lightning sour, you will have fear and all those things. Just our meditation was good. The moment we start, rain until we end. 30 minutes. Very beautiful. Then I really enjoy that meditation because it was so beautiful, so different. Then when these people come in the heavy rain, I was thinking they must be serious guy. Such heavy rain also. Ding dong, ding dong. But I like it when Sui An opened the door. Wow. The type of vibration from the rain and the nature and the breeze that come in. I don't know whether you all feel or not at the back. You feel or not? Oh, you can feel that. Oh, good. I thought near the door only I feel. Oh, it's so fresh and so breezy and so beautiful. And the vibration, everything, it just absorbing. It was so beautiful. The moment we start, the lightning, the thunder, the rain, oh, very loud. Then the moment we end, it's down. So all this are nature's phenomena. So when you know how to meditate, when you have the spiritual faculty, you can be very peaceful. You will not complain, ah, you know, these people, when I meditate, why they come at this time? Like that, your mind stay gone. If you will see and worse, everything down, you got to come out. You cannot meditate. That's why you must thank him. He sacrificed so much. He got to jagat into. Father. I think they meant good. Those who came because they were late, then they also have this heart. They want to come. And this is something that will benefit you tremendously. You will not regret for coming. Okay. Now I have explained your problem, so you know what to do. You better be focused, develop the mind sweeping method, then after that, stabilize it. Then relax. The key thing is relax. Meditation, the four support, the four important support for mindfulness or awareness based meditation is relax. Relax means you have to relax into every mind state that arises. Whether it is pity or whatever, or pain or numbness or whatever, you just relax into it. Then the chi will flow through. Then all this pain, numbness, everything will go. The reason why they are there is because you didn't relax. And there is blockage. When you cross your leg, when you are not relaxed, then when you have problem, you worry, you think. That's why you cannot concentrate or focus on your meditation. You cannot train your mind. Well, when you have this thought coming in, you have fear, worry, anxiety, which is a hindrance. Then you have your craving, sensual desire, and ill will, your fear. All this will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. That's why you cannot meditate. Well, these are hindrances. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner well-being to develop the meditation. So you must cultivate this spiritual faculty through the puja, through contemplating on the nine great virtues of the Buddhas and his teaching. Then develop the confidence in yourself, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then determine to cultivate. Then only you can progress. Then determine to develop sati by trying to be mindful throughout the day. Then you can do your bowing with mindfulness. Then whatever you do in life, you maintain awareness, mindfulness. Then you will decondition all this heedless thinking or old way of living life to a new way of heedful living where your mind state become very different. Then you realize you are so different from last time. Last time, you panic very fast, you worry a lot, you have so much problem, attachment. Then when you develop this training and understanding, you realize you are so calm, so peaceful, you are so mindful. Then like no more problem, everything is understood. Because when you have the spiritual faculty, you understand spiritual teaching. Then you straighten your view, you see your own foolishness, your own delusion, last time how you end up like that. Because you don't understand. That's why you keep on stirring your mind, reacting to what you see, what you hear. And your thought keep on coming to haunt you. You don't know how to use thought. You arise the wrong thought. So what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness. All these are wrong thought. Noble Eightfold Path, you're supposed to arise right thought. That's why we have here the previous day sharing. You have to arise the four right effort, to purify your thought. So the four right effort are very simple. First right effort is to abandon the wrong thought, the duties, wrong thought that has arisen. What are wrong thought? You have to understand what are wrong thought, otherwise you cannot. How can you cultivate this first right effort? You don't even know what is wrong thought. So what are wrong thought? I already explained that. Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lament, and your unhappiness and your misery that make you selfish, emotional, fearful, angry. These are all wrong thoughts. So whenever your mind state is like that, then you realize the wrong thought is there already. Then you have to learn how to abandon it. Understand? How do you do it? The Buddha teach you five ways. Five ways to abandon unwholesome thought. Okay? Five ways to overcome or abandon unwholesome thought. T is thought, or wrong thought. What are the five ways? What is the first way? Let's say you realize you got a lot of fear, or you got a lot of emotion, anger, envy, jealousy, hatred. So how do you overcome all these wrong thoughts? Because these are thoughts that will make you unhappy, fearful, miserable, stressful. And it brings about negative karma. That's why these are negative mind states. So when you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and negative emotion, your negative energy field will cause your immune system to go down. That's why human beings suffer. Then they develop sickness, disease, even cancer. Because you have a lot of wrong thought. Especially fear. Fear is the worst negative energy. How many of you experienced cold fear before? Wow, very good. Nobody. You mean you haven't experienced fear before when you are young or whatever? You sleep in a dark place. Then you heard before, got ghosts. Then sometimes you have nightmare, you dream. I tell you, that type of fear is traumatic. But actually that one not so bad. No? The one that you confront in life one was the type of fear that comes with wrongdoing. Like when you kill people, harm people, deceive and cheat people. You fear people come after you. You fear the police come after you. And when you are under investigation for CBT and all those things, I heard many people tell me, is it about you, this type of fear killing you, is it? Really killing you, is it? How many of you experienced it before? Oh, this is real suffering. So all this negative energy field, if you don't know how to reverse it through meditation, they will haunt you. They will cause you to break down. That's why you are very, very miserable. You will be very stressed out. Especially your worry. Even you worry for your children. Sometimes it can be so bad until because you have so much love for your children. You worry about them. You don't really understand them, where they are going through life, and you cannot understand what is happening to them. You want to help also, you cannot. They also doesn't want you to help because they themselves are in a very deluded state where they also cannot understand, and to them, they don't want anybody to disturb them. And the worst thing is you say, hey, we go and see psychiatrist. Because the first thing they would think is what? You think I got mental problem. They don't like us. Then sometimes they got no choice already. Then they go. Then after they go, what happened? They will give you all those sleeping pills. Many of you know. Sedative. They make you like doze off. Sleep. Actually, all this help initially. But after that, you become dependent. You need it to sleep. Otherwise, you cannot sleep. Then later on, they even give you those chemical imbalance type of medication. Because they know your fear arises because there is certain chemical imbalance. That's why it releases that type of hormone. Then it triggers off more fears. So the doctor know, that's why they give you that one. Then they will improve the chemical imbalance. Then after that, you are less prone to this type of fear. But the problem is not resolved. So when the medication fades away, the thing come back and become more intense. I got one classmate who experienced all this. He told me, terrible. Then what happened was that drug that they give you, the dosage keep on increasing until you become like drug addict, dependent on it. Even Alicia got one Macau friend, you can ask her, 20 over years depression has been dependent on this drug. And you know what she told Alicia and me? Because Alicia recommends she come for our retreat, Mahjong. Her problem is one. The moment she take this pill, she can sleep for 20 hours, 12 hours. She said, how to attend retreat? Some more retreat conducted in English, he only know Cantonese and Mandarin. But she has faith. These two trips she came down, she recovered so much. She WhatsApp me and thanked me that a lot of the not the suffering inside, the delusion. She was so grateful for all the understanding given to her and shared with her. She said one by one, the knot has been untied. And she came back alive. She was now so much more peaceful and more happy. Actually, the second trip when she came, we already can see. The first trip, actually, after he came to my house, after that experience, and after I explained towards the end, you can see the smile, the radiance in her face already. Then after that, within less than 1 or 2 weeks, she decided to come back alone on her own. First time she came with her husband. Second night she came alone. And when she came alone, I was told by Alicia, she shared with the WhatsApp friend the reason why she come. He said he come here to learn wisdom. Oh, see, depressed people learning wisdom. And really, she meant it. And she was so happy when she came the second night. And she learned very fast. She understand very fast. There was a lot of joy. And we see the tremendous improvement in her. Her faith now, her confidence. She start to love herself. She start to understand all this teaching. Not loving yourself is really misery. You know what is loving yourself now? Not the sadism. You know what is loving yourself now? Maybe I explain, there are some people who are new. My wife want to go down to the washroom. Sorry. You see, when you love your child means what? When you love your child means what? You go all out to protect your child, isn't it? Because you love them, isn't it? You go all out to protect them so that they will not get hurt or harmed. So that anything, you will stand up for them. You are willing to sacrifice your life for them. That is love, understand? Protecting them and taking care of them, making sure they are happy. And they have this, what they call, good life. So if you know how to love your child that way, why can't you learn to love yourself the same way? You understand that? So that you also will protect yourself. Don't allow yourself to have all this suffering, misery, unhappiness. So this is loving yourself. So if you love yourself, you will not allow yourself to become miserable, unhappy, sorrowful. So that will bring us to the second part of the teaching. The Buddha said, this human being, or the so-called form and mind which you think you are, is not really you. But this one is like what I wrote here. You see, this one is karmically conditioned out into this world as a human being for you to come, to live life, to experience life. Of course, for a lot of people, is to come and experience karma, pay back your karma. But if you understand the purpose of this, then you can use it to cultivate, to develop the understanding, the wisdom, so that you will accumulate a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits. So that this wholesomeness and merit, which is recorded in the spiritual law and the law of karma, they will come and continuously support you, protect you, guide you, and give you the good life. When you understand this, then you will know how to use this without having to worry about it. The Buddha said, as a human being, you have a physical body. Okay, this is the physical body. You have a physical body, then you have a mind. So these two combined, you are the form and the mind. So these are mind aggregates. So the form and mind, you combine, become a human being. So the Buddha said, your mind can do certain things. Your mind can feel hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant, sense experience, all those things. Then your mind can perceive through your senses, through your seeing, through your hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. Like my voice, through your hearing, you can perceive what I speak. Then all this that you can come to see through your seeing consciousness, you can perceive that. The Buddha image, the painting, the ceiling fan, the lighting, and all those things, and even this whiteboard. Then you can also arise mental thinking, activity, mental state, views and opinion, your planning, your cunningness, your whatever, mind state. They are part of sankhara, or mental activity, the third aggregate. Then the last one is the mind can become conscious of what you see, conscious of what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you feel, and what you think. That's why consciousness is another aggregate, because your mind can become conscious of all this. And these are called the mind's aggregate, the four aggregates of mind. You combine these four with this form, it becomes the five aggregate of form and mind. This is what the human being is all about. The five aggregate of form and mind. The Buddha said, you are this five aggregate of form and mind. And this is not you. This is karmically conditioned out. This human being is real and exists. But it's not you, because this one is conditionalizing, dependent, originating, not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling onto, hold onto, and grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. No, because this one goes the way of nature. Physical body, the form is element only, it goes the way of nature. That's why you will get old, get sick, and die, and this is a reality. You cannot fight this. That's why in the five daily contemplation, you have to reflect on this. Then you are not deluded by it. The Buddha said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. You are not the only person in this world or existence that is subject to this, nature's law. Every living being also has to go through this. They also have to accept the reality that this form goes the way of nature. And it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. So when you confront that, you accept the reality, then you know that the physical form is not you because it makes of an element only. No knowing cannot be you. And then you don't worry about it getting old, getting sick, and die. You just use it, anasana. So this physical body or form is for you to use. So use it. Use it to live life. Use it to experience life. Use it to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, to be a blessing to all. But if you use it to kill people, harm people, and make other people miserable, and make yourself miserable, that is stupidity. That is delusion. That is suffering. That's why this is a vehicle for you to use. Understand not? You know what is a vehicle or not? Like a car to take you around, isn't it? When you drive your car, it can take you around. Right? So when you go around, you need a physical body. Right? This is your physical vehicle. That's why this form, this physical body, is like a vehicle. So you use it. You don't go and worry about it. Then there is a mind inside that can feel, perceive, and all, do all these things. This is consciousness inside. And this is like a tool. This mind is like a tool. T-O-O-L. You know it's a tool, isn't it? Like a garden tool, eh? Or a knife. What you use the knife for? Cut fruits, cut veggie, shape thing, do carving, and help you to use it for good purpose. But if you use the knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hit out another, is that the right way to use the knife? That is delusion, isn't it? Suffering, isn't it? You use the knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out others. And do you know, human being is precisely using their mind to cut themselves, harm themselves, hurt themselves, and make themselves miserable. Through what? Through thinking until depressed. Until so sorrowful, so miserable, so fearful. It's only a thought. How come it has such power? That's why the Buddha said, Noble Eightfold Path, right thought. Don't arise this wrong thought. This wrong thought is damaging, torturing you, making you miserable. And you don't have the teaching, you will always arise wrong thought. Because wrong thought comes from sakkayaditti, self-delusion. Self-delusion, when you believe you exist, what happens? This one takes an entity, a personality. That's why it becomes egoic. Then it wants to own things, possess things. That's why it's selfish. That's why all of selfishness is an evil root. Then it can become emotional, angry, violent. And these are all evil root, root of all evil, make you evil and miserable. Then it can develop fear, worry, anxiety. That's why this is the source of suffering. Attachment, clinging, craving, lack of understanding. So if you don't know how to use these tools, you don't have the understanding of the teaching, you use it wrongly to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself miserable and hit one another, that is really foolishness and delusion. But if you know how to use this mind to arise the right thought, what are right thought? Eh? What are right thought? Thought that bring about? Beautiful mental state. Means whatever wholesome thought that brings about harmony, love, understanding, contentment, generosity, sincerity, respect, gratitude. All these are right thought, wholesome thought, beautiful thought, love, compassion, joy, happiness. All of your gentleness, pleasantness, and goodness, they are all right thought. And when you have this wholesomeness, right thought in you, you are so happy, so beautiful. Especially parents, when your children come back one day and thank you, Daddy, Mommy, I really appreciate all of your sacrifice. When I was young, you care for me, you provide for me, you gave me love. You did so much thing for me. You provide for my education, everything. I tell you, you will be the happiest parent in the world. Money cannot buy us. Not all the gift and all the praises, no point. But the gratitude, the sincerity from them, that word, straight away make you feel so good. Then your tears will flow. Then you tell yourself, it's worth it. All your struggle, all your sacrifice is worth it. Yeah. But don't become miserable when your son don't want you. And don't come back and say all this thing. And bring you problems. A lot of people always used to tell me in the real life confrontation and discussion, you know what they tell me? You hope your son to come back and bring love to you or money to you. He said, as long as he grow up and don't come back and give me problem, that is good enough. I already pray to heaven and thank God profusely. In Cantonese, what they call? Jie tian jie di. Nowadays, children, not easy, because the parent actually didn't know they are partly to be blamed for what happened. No, that's not all. You look back. Oh, still got 10 minutes. You look back into our early days life. Huh? We are first generation kids, most of us. What happened to our life? Huh? You think of parents, temper you, worry about you. Boy, how are you? Okay. You know how to come down to KL or not to go university study. You have to do everything yourself. I was from Alaska. I got 9 brothers and sisters. My parents is not the type that, well, my mother say, don't worry about how many children you have. No? He said, the children come from, to her is, he said, heaven is in the sky. In Hakka, Tian Sang, Tian Yong. You understand? The sky or heaven born, heaven will take care. So you all have to grow up yourself, survive yourself, and become independent of yourself. That's why we become real, first-hand quality type of first-generation kid. We can survive, and we are very independent and resilient. Nowadays, children, everything also pampered until worry about this, worry about that, this one no need to do that one, God made and all those things. Then they cannot become independent. They cannot survive. Some of the children don't even know how the household bill are paid. Then the car they drive, they don't even know they need road tax and insurance. How their parent buy also they don't know. They only know how to drive and complain. Then got accident, call papa. Because they are partly to be blamed because the parent pampered them. The parents are partly to be blamed, because they pampered them. And they don't allow them to learn because they worry about them. My children, in the name of love, you pamper them with so many things. And many of them, they find it very difficult to survive in new places, especially when they have to go to university, when they have to stay alone. But some of them learn and become very independent too. But there are many kids who couldn't cope and become very problematic. So this is what life is all about, the reality. So you know how to love yourself, you know how to make use of this form and mind as a vehicle and a tool for you to live life, that you can become beautiful, you can become a blessing to all. But you must have this teaching so that you know how to use thought, so that you know how to use this physical body and mind, so that you know clearly what are these things. But you have to penetrate the teaching. Then you understand all this. Then life becomes beautiful. Like the Heart Sutta mentioned, when you penetrate through emptiness, when you understand the Dhamma, life becomes wonderful, life becomes meaningful. Life start to take a turn, and you realize that now life is so easy. Life is only complicated when you are deluded and you don't understand. A lot of people find life is very, very stressful. A lot of things to do. A lot of problem, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of sorrow and lamentation. But those who have the Dhamma, all these things don't exist. Understand? These are what the mind that don't understand, perceive, that they react and they stir and get themselves entangled and become miserable. Because they cannot understand all this and they don't love themselves. They keep on arising wrong thought and become miserable without them knowing it. So just now I didn't teach you how to overcome the 5 ways. The first way is think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. When you are angry, you develop the loving kindness as taught by me in the blue book. You wish people well and happy. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. You feel the well-being and happiness and joy within yourself. Then you can radiate this to your children. And this positive energy will replace the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the anger, and the lamentation. And you become peaceful. That's why this meditation helps to reverse all this. Then when you decondition your heedless thinking through mind spring method means you feel your forehead, then relax, silent, don't think. And when you do that, your mind become peaceful. From heedless thinking, it become peaceful awareness. No more thinking, because you just feel and relax. You don't think anymore. Then you train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at a point, it stay there. You want it to be at a heart area, it stay there. It means it doesn't wander anymore. It doesn't run anymore. The mind is very funny. You must give him something to do. You don't give him something to do, he will wander off and think a lot, become heedless. So what is the thing that you let it do? You ask it to feel, and it says, feel what? Any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, relax it. Ah, then this mind will continue to do this until it become a new conditioning, until it become very different, very calm, very peaceful. Then it just feel. You don't think anymore. Then you become peaceful. So this is the first way. Cultivate the opposite wholesome thought. Even if you got envy and jealousy, it's the same. You must have love. Then when you have cruelty, you must cultivate compassion. Be compassionate. Then all this fear, worry, anxiety, you must cultivate confidence, sadha. In the Buddha and his teaching and in yourself to overcome all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Then the second way is to think, still thought-based, think of the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought. If this wrong thought which has arisen, you don't abandon it, what happened? These are wrong thoughts, no? Condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your selfishness, your emotional negativity and your delusion. If you allow it to stay in your mind, it will kill you, it will make you miserable. These are negative energy field. These are evil, root of all evil, and yet you allow it to stay in your thought process, in your mind. You have to abandon it. So that's why the Buddha said, the second way is to reflect and contemplate my life. How can I allow this thing to happen? It's like using your thought to kill yourself, make yourself miserable, understand? Why are you doing it to yourself? It means you don't love yourself, correct? If you love yourself, will you do that? You will never do that. So, you were determined to abandon. And the third way is the best. Because when you see the danger of this wrong thought, you go all out to free. The first way, the Buddha teach you think of the direct opposite wholesome thought can work for a while. But every time you got a problem, you got to meditate. That's why it is just a skillful means. It doesn't solve your problem. Because after you come out, the same problem come back, you become affected again. That one doesn't lead to wisdom. That one is temporary measure, but better than nothing. Better than taking all the sedative pill, all the chemical imbalance, all the medication. Because that one make you dependent. Drug addict, worse. The second way is when you know the consequence, the danger, then you go all out to cultivate the third way. A third way is meditation. The Buddha said you don't have to do anything. When there is fear, there is worry, there is anger, there is unhappiness, don't do anything. Just meditate, silent. Develop the awareness. When there is no thought, fear cannot proliferate. When you don't feed it with any more thought energy, all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, they will cease to be. It will just silent and disappear. Because before you have this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, they were not there. When you are happy, cheerful, there is no such thing as fear, worry, anxiety. You don't have problem with that. That's why this mind state originally was peace, happiness. This is your true mind. But when you go and think and get yourself entangled, then all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, they start to arise. And they are not inherent in you. They are conditioned arising state born of your wrong thought, your delusion, your lack of understanding. So when you understand that these are not you, anger is not you, fear is not you, then easy to resolve. You only need to relax and silent. That is meditation. then the mind will go back to its original state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner still. Then you realize your true mind is just so beautiful. No need to do anything. That's why the real meditation is just relax and silent. No need to do anything. Silent mind. Can follow that? Yeah? So the third way is the best. But again, like the Buddha said, every time you got problem, you go and silence yourself. Then how to live life? Cannot, is it? So the Buddha said, okay, the third way is very good for you to understand, for you to gain back your peace, your clarity. But he moved on to the fourth way, is it? You must develop wisdom through the fourth way, is it? You ask yourself a very important question. Before you get angry, before you have this fear, this stress, this unhappiness, you were peaceful, isn't it? You were happy, isn't it? He said, trace the origination factor. How does this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation come about? 10:30. I finish off this one. Bear with me for a while. He said, it comes from one of your sense doors. Either from something you see, then you stir and react. Or hear, like people abuse you, scold you. Yeah. Or you recall through memory your unhappy past, your phobia, your whatever earlier on, child abuse or sexual harassment or whatever else. There is this, what they call phobia that you have in your past. So when you trace, then you realize it's from your senses. So these are the origination factor. Then your mind becomes like that. Due to your wrong view, understand? Because you recall the unhappy past and your thought project and it stirred, make you frightened, make you fearful. Then when you see somebody that you don't like, due to your wrong view, you have negative perception of him, your mind develops the hatred, the anger, the envy, the jealousy. So all this you trace, then you know. Then the Buddha says, retrospectively, where you understand how it arises. So in future, when you straighten your view, that's why you have to develop through meditation a type of understanding that will allow you to be at peace the next time when you see the same person or hear the same thing when people abuse you, scold you. Those who want to go retreat, there was a question about snoring. Very good test. If you cannot tolerate snoring, you are not a yogi. when you can tolerate, endure snoring and smile with it and become mindful over it and sleep with it, you are one with the snoring. That is the D. Snoring can develop mindfulness. When you can be aware of your own snoring, that is the real meditation. So don't worry about all this thing. That's why when you understand, you trace the origination factor, then you tell yourself, last time because of my wrong view, I cannot accept them for what they are. I cannot accept the world for what it is. Then I developed this understanding, like what I used to teach you all. But this can come from my own contemplation. If I can accept them for what they are, I'm at peace. So the world is the world. People are just the way they are. Means what? Angry people will say angry things. Deluded people will do deluded things. Selfish people will do selfish things. They are just the way they are. I don't agree with what they do, understand? But I accept them for what they are because they are like that. When they have this delusion and negativity, they will become like that. Then karma will take care of them. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to even react or stir your mind or become frightened. Then your mind become different. Your mind can have clarity and peace. Then later on, when you develop this understanding, you will have compassion towards them, because it is through their ignorance, not understanding this teaching, they become like that. If they understand this teaching, life need not be like that. That's why suffering need not be. You don't have to become like that. Okay? With that, we finish. So, today's recording, go back and listen. You make sure you know how to do it. Otherwise, it's knowledge only, I tell you. But when you understand clearly and you put it into practice, and one day when you can do it, you will become very different. That is the real cultivation. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. you know, but you cannot do. Okay? Okay, one more time, rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will do the closing puja. So you all should thank our Tio Chingyao for the good question. Oh, he didn't ask any question. He just described his problem. But it was the condition that led to all this. So we sadhu him. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why Chingyao, ho liao tonight you. Oh, sadhu. I tell you, you make sure Li Hong listen to this. Li Hong here or not? Oh, no. So you tell Li Hong, Brother Tio say you must listen to this. Okay. Sharing our merits with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang pang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share this merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta watta cham ehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy always. We invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now we will do the aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha.
Inviting us to come to their house to listen to this beautiful Buddha Dhamma. A couple of quick announcements. The first one is there's a visit to Sumeru next Saturday, January the 23rd. Unfortunately, Mifo and me, we have bought our ticket to Kosovaru, so we won't be joining. So Brother Teo is suggesting that for those that are going to meet at his house, 7:30 on January 23rd. I'll send the notice out. 7:30 on January 23rd, a Saturday. Then from there, just go straight to Sumeru. So somewhere in Jalan Meru is a very nice meditation place. For those of you that know the way, I'll send the way's coordinate. Then you can just go directly and meet there by 8:30. I'll leave you Susan's contact because I think she'll be waiting there. So that's one. The second thing is there are only two more classes here. I'm not sure about February the 4th. We haven't decided. There are two more classes here, which means that today is 14th, 21st and 28th will be here. On the 4th, we are going back to Penang, myself and Mifong. So there's no class here on the February the 4th. So now the important thing is that the retreat is March the 12th to March the 20th. This evening, I just took in the last two. Hopefully, it's the last two. So at this moment, we have 70 yogis. It's a lot. So the current plan is there will be two buses. One is the Klang. Klang will go and join up with SS2. That means the bus from Klang will go to SS2 and pick up the rest of the Brother Teo and the rest. And the other bus will be from SJBA directly up to Cameron's. All right. So for those going for the retreat, please pay me or Stephanie or Miss Lee next week or latest by the end of the month. And when you pay, you please attach your name and your IC number because basically we are trying to do the insurance for the trip.
Give them the bank account easier. Then let them deposit.
Okay. But I need your name and your IC, the IC name and your IC number so that we can do the insurance. For those of you driving, I think there's only probably one car at this moment.
Okay.
Those of you going is on the bus is 350. No GST, so same as last year. For those of you driving directly, it'll be 280.
Yeah.
And if you wish to sponsor any of the meals, there's a breakfast, there's lunch, dinner. I'm not sure how many people are attending the dinner. So if you want to sponsor the meal, it's six ringgit per meal multiplied by 70. That's 420 per meal. From March 12th to March 20. Any questions? Those that of you that have not confirmed, please let me know.
It will be all vegetarian meals. But I think the sponsorship need not be like one person sponsor the whole thing. You can sponsor whatever amount you want. But if you want to take up the whole breakfast or what, you are most welcome.
So there's breakfast, there's lunch, and then there's something called a medicinal meal. So because it's a Mahayana temple, they can arrange a medicinal meal. That means it's not to eat until you're very full, but it's just to eat so that you can survive.
Those who have gastric or who need food, you can have it.
All right. So when you pay up, you let me know whether you are having dinner. Anything else? Fruits. No. 350 does not include the donation to the temple. I'll send all those reminders out.
Every time we ask them to top it up. I know, we ask them to buy for us, then we top it up.
No, I mean
ask them to buy for us. We pay. Correct, but we also pay. We ask them to go and buy. Then sometimes they no sponsor, they still go and buy. No problem. And whenever we pay extra to bring it in the day, then they will take care of that. Thank you.